The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
Oops, he throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You are listening to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. As always, I'm Matt, and we hear from Alex once again. Good afternoon, Alex.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
I'm not too bad. Yourself?
Oh, I'm fine. Getting real excited with all this football news going on.
Yes, we've got a good... We've now started training camp, so that's going to be exciting to see what combinations come up. Mm-hmm. We've also got a lot coming through on the podcast, so the next month or so leading up to the first game of the season against the Jets will be really interesting, and a lot of stuff that we can bring you on this podcast. So, yeah.
And, you know, by excited, I mean remarkably petrified, because it's all about staying healthy.
Yeah.
Seeing what's happened so far. Tight ends just went down. AJ yep. Green went down. Every year it's something, and I just, for as exciting as it is, it's just really kind of scary as well.
Yeah. So hopefully the ones for us are not too game-changing. We'll put it that way.
If anything happens, let's hope it's our fourth cornerback.
Yes.
Sorry to whoever that is, but...
No, it's a good time to for not just Bills fans but fans of any NFL team. As training camps come, everyone's now excited that the season's nearly getting there, and all the dull summer months where there's been barely any news or anything like that finally goes away, and we get news pretty much 24/7, which ties in lovely with our little review of Embedded. You've seen Embedded, the new series. I'm assuming that pretty much all our listeners have actually stayed up on that day to actually watch it, or have watched it. I really love those series, and I do hope that one is not just for that part, and they actually carry on during the training camp, so we get to see that again. So like a season three. So I really enjoy it. Let's say I've got a few little tidbits. I don't know if you've got any yourself.
I actually am just scrolling through Twitter looking for Bills news, and I have an ad in my Twitter feed for Marmite peanut butter, and I am remarkably distracted right now.
Marmite peanut butter.
Yeah. So I mean, okay. I don't know. Let's 5 minutes real quick. Your thoughts on Marmite by itself.
Hate normally. It.
Okay, good.
Hate it. That's
me
it.
Too. Me too.
End of discussion.
Let's hope we didn't lose any listeners from that. But yeah, I mean,
it can't be as worse as you actually saying that OJ was a murderer.
Oh, all right. Well, there's that, ladies and gentlemen. Embedded. Yes. I really don't have much to say. I had fun watching it. I don't personally think it gave us any insight that we don't already know. It's like a long press conference. Whoever's on screen is going to say what they're told to say, which, you know, really isn't saying anything. Something like this that's like completely under team control would never really show us anything intriguing anyway.
Yeah.
So like it was a 2 hour long, however long, hype video. Not to put it down, because it worked. I mean, I was hyped afterwards, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the episode where they show the new gym with the weights and everything. I watched it at like 2 a.m. and I went to the gym right after.
Powerful motivation.
So, Exactly, 100%. So, but yeah, I mean, there's been polls on Twitter about like what was the most interesting thing about Embedded, and it was like seeing the war room for the draft, and like, yeah, that's interesting. But for me, at least, it's not something that I haven't already seen before, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably if I were to put my finger on one thing that was the most interesting was the chase for David Sills.
Yeah. Yeah. It shows how much they really wanted him. Mm-hmm. And the fact that and I think when me and you just had a chat previously about it, why didn't they actually draft him in that seventh round rather than go through all the rigmarole and all the phoning up saying come over or speak to his agent. But what I liked about it was obviously they got Josh Allen and Matt Barkley. What was it with me of creating new players? I have no idea.
You're not the only one. You watch one game with Joe Buck and he mixes a guy's names up all the time. Oh, remember when Stephen A. Smith called Marcel Darius Darcell Marius?
Yeah.
Oh, that's one of my favorite things. Someone posts that every year, and it's the best. Darcell Marius.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's good that both Josh and Matt were both on the phone to David trying to get him over. So it shows that not only do the brass like him, but maybe potentially that Alan Barkley have seen what he's like, maybe seen a few games. I think in Alan's case, possibly may have seen him if Wyoming played West Virginia. I don't know if they did during Allen's time, but
didn't our assistant GM, he said that like Matt Barkley knows him or something like that?
I think so.
That, I mean, there's kind of an age difference there, but I mean, if that's what he says, then all right.
But no, I mean, that's one thing I liked about it. It also showed that how Josh Allen really is buying into Buffalo, how he's become a more natural leader.
Yeah.
And that's what you'd like to see. You'd like to see him actually take responsibility on and off the field, be respecting the community. All he'll need to do now is just obviously keep up on training camp and just continue to improve to be that all-time great alongside Jim Kelly for the Buffalo Bills.
And I think that's probably one of the most interesting things when it comes to any athlete playing for any sports team.
Yeah.
You grow up the fan of a team. Like let's say I'm not 5'6". Yeah. Let's say I am 6 foot and I try and you know, I'm an athlete. I'm growing up a Bills fan. If I get drafted by the Arizona Cardinals, how hard is it to buy into that team, you know? I mean, I know nothing of their history. I mean, Jake Plummer, that's all I got, you know? Like, how it's too hot in Arizona. I spent a day there and it was the worst. I mean, to see like Allen buy in like that and just to really embrace it is great to see. I don't think I could do it, honestly. Yeah. I mean, I like being dramatic for the fun of it, but I probably would be one of those like Chad Ojofsinko players if I was, you know, but and I'm glad to see that he's not like me and he just buys right in. I would love to know who his childhood team was. I don't know if anyone's ever said that.
We could always try and tweet him and find out, try and get him on the show.
Get him on the show then.
About Embedded, I want to get your take on it. May put it through to the listeners. Micah Hyde, man purse or travel bag?
That's a really good question. You know, it's because it's got like the Nike logo on it. You know, it's like they made it for dudes. So
yeah,
there. I don't know. I see. I work part time at like a Grand Arcade kind of mall thing while I'm living in this country, just to bide my time. And I see a lot of the students with the fanny packs, but strapped over their chest. Mm. So, and I can't call that a purse, you know, but, this one definitely was more purse-like 'cause it had like, you know, like two pouches on it. I mean, I don't want to call him out because he's much larger than I am. So, I mean, it was okay that Kyle Williams called him out on it, but I'm just going to – I'll defer to you. What do you think?
Travel bag. It is a travel bag. You got the space. You got the holes to stick your passport in. You got the stuff to stick your wallet in. It's straightforward, simple. And then when you get to a checkout desk, just put it in, rather than having to rustle through a purse. To me, a man purse is pretty much just like a purse. It's what you're going to put on your back, or even your fanny pack. That's what I would class as it. That's a travel bag that can contain your document, and you can keep that safe on you at all time. You stick it right close to your chest. They're going to be brave enough to actually try and lift that flap when you're looking down straight on top of it.
Yeah, I think you're just saying that because you have one yourself, so you're more defending yourself than anything.
I'm more jealous that he's got one, to be honest. I'm going to go on Nike's website and actually see if I can get one.
Well, I'm sure he can rock it a lot better than we can anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
moving on, obviously training camp started Thursday. Now, there is quite a lot of interest in here, especially with rotations and lineups and all that. I mean, obviously, we're going to talk about the O-line a bit more detail later on, but obviously, I've followed all the Twitter updates and all the updates you get from the beat reporters, and I've noticed one thing that's been consistent all the way through is that on day one, the O-line was Dorkin, Spain, Morse, Feliciano, and Ford. Day two was Dorkin, Spain, Morse, Long, and Ford. Day three, Dorkin, Spain, Morse, Feliciano, and Ford. And today, I looked up just before we came on, and recorded, we had Dorkins, Quinton, Spain, Russell, Bodine, but that was just relief as Mitch Morse had a rest day.
The day off, yeah.
Feliciano and Cody Ford. So is that a sign to you that they may know what their five is, or do you just think it's early in the training camp and there's still a lot more to go?
Yeah, I think it's really early. I mean, that kind of consistency does reflect in what I think the 53-man roster is on my predictions. I like Spencer Long more than John Feliciano. I'm going to take Joe Biscaglia's word for it. He said Long is looking better than Feliciano on day three. So, I mean, everyone that you said is going to make my 53-man roster anyway. But I'm interested in it because, I mean, there was chatter after day one about how Ed Oliver wasn't getting, like, first-team reps, but Cordy Ford was. I think that kind of leads more to the fact that we – need Ford to be starting anyway, and Oliver we can kind of take our time with.
I had this chat with someone on the Bills Facebook Messenger group when they actually thought, oh god, that means his attitude stinks, or there's not, or stuff like that. But to be honest, I can see where McDermott's coming from. Okay, yes, Ford's probably going to be one that they want to get in early, because no disrespect to Nseki, Waddle, and all that. If you think Cody Ford's going to be that right tackle, you try and get him in early as possible. But
with the
D-line, you've got depth. You've got, obviously, Star Lutzlaley. You've got Jordan Phillips, who is a good defensive tackle, and it showed.
He's your rotate guy. He'll be rotating in and out.
Yeah. But it's a case that I like how he's trying to not big up Ed Oliver and actually get him to earn it, which is how you should be treating these rookies. Cause, I mean, first year, Josh Allen. Okay, yes. He came in seventh quarterback, probably is a little bit different to other positions, but when you come in as seventh round pick in the first round, and you've got the likes of Nate Peterman, Tyrod Taylor ahead of you, you'd be expecting him to to obviously start taking at least second team, maybe straight away taking first team. Zay Jones, the same thing. At start of camp, he was mainly in with the seconds and thirds. Even Matt Milano didn't start out directly with the first. I think different rookies with coaches' philosophies and how they want to develop, and obviously a situation, I think, plays a big part into this decision. I mean,
yeah, but I think for me, most importantly, it's the offensive line needs to gel. They need to mesh. They need time together. Mm. Almost every other position, you're not really relying on someone else. You know,
yeah.
You don't have a man next to you. That, I mean, defensive line, yeah, but you just got to fill your gap. You know, offensive line, you have to be able to adjust and communicate. And basically everyone's new except for Dawkins. So they need the time together. So I think that makes the most sense, at least for that core.
It's interesting to read. I went through Twitter, got a few tweets lined up that it may make a difference. It may not during practice, but one of them had said that Deion Dawkins was doing some drills at guard, and also that the brass actually cannot envision Cody Ford being moved inside, and they're going to work him out strategically as a right tackle. Mm. Although the last few days, he's shown probably some rookie errors, which are expected.
Yeah, do it now. It's the beginning of training camp. Get it out of the way.
Because he's been beaten a fair few times by Trent Murphy. Mm. Obviously, Trent Murphy is a veteran. He knows a lot more. But obviously, going up against him and actually being schooled in inverted commas will just be the making of him. But what they like about him and what they say, they have no plans to move him to guard, probably means that you may have a lock on a couple of positions. You'll definitely have a lock on Morse at center. Mm-hmm. They may have already had a lock on Ford at right tackle.
Mm-hmm. So who are your locks? Like, let's predict it now. Who's locked in as a starter?
I would say Mitch Morse, center. I would say Cody Ford, right tackle. I say Quinton Spain, left guard. It seems like he's not moved, and he's not been able to be moved by anyone challenging him. And they feel that he's going to potentially be that starting guard. I would say they're going to try Dawkins, see if because I can't see. I see Nseki actually being used at both as a swing tackle. So unless Nseki has that great start at left tackle with the seconds, I obviously Dawkins locked for it. It's just the right guard which is going to be problematic. But I wouldn't say based on the first 4 days, but if we were to, I'd probably say Feliciano would be that right guard. So from left to right, you go Dawkins, Spain, Morse, Feliciano, and Ford.
I see. Okay. I mean, I definitely am going to lock Dawkins in. His rookie season was better than his second season, but I think he can fix that. McDermott's already talking high about Dawkins, acting like a different person on the field so far. I agree with Spain at left guard, Morse, obviously, and Ford at right tackle. Nseki, I think he was brought in to be that guy to groom Ford and get some time at both left tackle and right tackle. I just like you kind of said, the only toss-up, I mean, is Long and Feliciano at right guard. I don't think Boedeker can challenge. I don't think Teller can challenge. I don't think Haas can challenge. But how many backups are you carrying?
Well, we can obviously discuss this a little bit more in the O-line review. I'm saying that they're potentially going to have 9 or 10 O-linemen in that on the roster come the start of the season. I think you've got players there that can play multiple positions, which will obviously potentially have that competition a little bit more and maybe allow them to sacrifice a player for another position in the roster. It's just how well they obviously can gel, and obviously if they get reps at both those positions, like say Spencer Long can play a bit of safety and guard. I mean, you've got guards that can play both sides. You've got Nseki, who they're pegging to be that swing tackle.
Yeah.
The Davion Waddle can do that. So it's one of those, if you've got the ability to play across the line, whether it be all the positions or even just a couple of positions, that versatility will keep you there. But as I say, we can probably go into that a little bit more potentially in the positional review, but that's what I'm kind of seeing. If you've got versatility along that line, you're just going to put that through and have them as your starter. So it could just be nine.
But I mean, I'm focused definitely on versatility about it all. You're going to keep guys who can run block and pass block. You can't just. If a guy can't do one, you gotta kind of let him go, because I think that this year, more than anything, is gonna be a year where we throw the ball more. I mean, last year our run blocking wasn't great, our pass blocking was okay, but I think they don't really care anymore. But I think we brought in guys that are more versatile, so. Because obviously the idea was to get better at the run game to help Josh Allen, even though it does look a lot like we're going to be throwing the ball more. I don't know. I love not knowing, because forever it's been the Bills are going to run the ball. And now, like with the guys we brought in, it looks like that'll change and it's great. So, I mean, let's just can we play yet? Let's just play a game.
Okay, so then let's bring in the O-line review in with this with the section with training camp and obviously what we've discussed. I've said we'd take potentially 9, 10. I'll probably stick my neck out and say 9. How many are you taking? How many?
I'm only going to do 9. I would rather have an extra depth guy on defense. Just because, I mean, with the injuries, with I think there's more. And then I think at cornerback, we need more. So, and I think a lot of the guys that I have on my cut list just aren't good enough anyway.
Yeah. So if we go for our 53-man roster then for O-line, if we say we're taking 9 going forward, we're going to lock in pretty much Dawkins, Ford, Morse, Spain, Feliciano, and Spencer Long.
Yep.
Who do you see making the making it into the last few spots? Yeah.
I also have Tynesecki, Russell Bodine, and Wyatt Teller.
That's cool. I have. Yeah. No, I probably forgot about Nseki. I definitely have him as the.
He's definitely a lock.
Yeah, I mean, and yep, I agree with you on Teller. They wouldn't have drafted him last year and actually give him run outs if they were gonna cut him. I think the new signing that we made this week, is it Isaac Asiata?
Matt Asiata, the running back from the Vikings? No.
Okay. No. Isaac. his cousin, Isaac.
Oh,
from,
really?
He was cut from the Dolphins. But he's been signed this week, as well as safety Abraham Wallace, who was a rookie pickup, undrafted free agent. For that, they released Damari Scott. So that's one less position in the wide receiver group. And put Jeremiah Searles on the PUP list.
Yeah.
So
I only mentioned Matt Asiata because I remember he won me a game in fantasy football to get me into the playoffs.
I think he's a veteran presence, but I can't see him him doing it. I mean, we've got, let's say, we've got, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 ready guards.
Mm-hmm. That's why I kept Bodine, because we need someone who can back up Morse if he gets hurt or needs to take a breather. I think he's the only guy on the roster that can slot into center and be, and I would feel comfortable with it.
I don't know. I think Spencer, he did it with the Jets. He played a bit. He played center for the Jets for a bit. So,
but maybe it's just because I don't like Feliciano that I would want to keep long at right guard. But I mean, I don't know. I need to watch more and hear more about him, because I mean, he just came in from Oakland. So yeah. I mean, we'll see. His Pro Football Focus grade wasn't that impressive, but I mean, it fit in well with who we had last year. I mean,
yeah. I think with the introduction of Bobby Johnson as the O-line and obviously knows him well.
Yeah.
I do see him obviously sticking, whether, and then obviously the battle will be between him and Long for that. For that right guard, but say Spencer Long, we can have him as a center as well. I mean, the last position, yes, I'm a toss up. I mean, I'm a toss up between Russell Bodine, but I also can see them potentially keeping LaDainian Waddle on, because yes, you've got Dawkins, Ford, and you've got Nseki. They're your only tackles on there. Yes,
so for you, it's between Waddle and Bodine.
Yeah, but I would probably say Waddle over Bodine, really? Because it's obviously another tackle option. So you're going to have 4 tackles and 5 interior linemen, which I think, yeah, which is good. Yeah. Cause I say you've got Long that will do both center and guard, whereas Bodine, I think, Has he played much guard in his career, or has he been predominantly a center?
Don't know. Just heard about him for the first time 3 months ago. So.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, my perception of the offensive line, the way I've always looked at offensive line is, I don't care the name on the back of the jersey, just don't get the quarterback sacked.
Yeah.
So if I see our quarterback not getting sacked, and if I see our running back getting holes, I'm like, oh, look, our offensive line is good. I don't know how to attribute that to one position. Yeah. I mean, obviously, throughout the years, some guys stand out. Jason Peters obviously stood out. But, I mean, because last year they were so bad, I think I just made a point to just ignore them. And then, obviously, with all the new guys, I took a little bit of time to get to know who the new guys were, study the Pro Football Focus grading system on how these guys are, graded. The Pro Football Reference has an approximate value ranking for players, so I look into that, and I use that a lot for our all-time offensive line ratings, even though I know most of the guys from that list. Surprisingly, yeah, I'm really well-versed in 1970s and 1980s offensive tackles, but not the current guys. So,
that's fair. So
attribute that to my dad. He loves the gritty offensive defensive line guys. So we talked all the time about that stuff.
So nail that final position then, what the Bills would do, not what we would do. Who do we agree would be what the Bills do for that 53?
That's tough. I think for the Bills, it comes down to Bodine, Boedeker, and Waddle. I think for a reason they would probably think, like, you know, because I think, I mean, it comes down to who they think is the most versatile. Can you play inside and outside, and can you run block and pass block? If you can play inside outside but only pass block, then you're not gonna make it. So it's gonna be whomever of those three guys does the best at everything at training camp. And I think in that sense, then maybe it might be Waddle, just because Bodine's probably only at center. But but I think I can't say for the Bills, because I think that it's too early to tell. And I like Long at starting right guard. And I don't think they would prefer to have him move to center.
Yeah.
I think that's not the goal. But if Feliciano is, if they can trust him enough, and if maybe Niseki, I mean, does Niseki only play tackle? Can he go inside?
Not that I've noticed. I've not heard of him playing playing inside. I think I've heard him mainly be the tackle tackle guy.
It's easier to go inside, right? If you're good at tackle, you should be good at guard.
Yeah, I mean,
but,
it's what we had. It's what Cordy Glenn did with Bengals. I think we had that chat with them, an interview which we'll show in show within the next couple of weeks, where they were talking about how they moved when they signed Jonah Williams. They're starting to move him inside to guard. So
yeah.
You've got, and then obviously they thought Cody Ford or the scouts and media personalities would think that Cody Ford would come inside. So yeah, I mean,
okay, so you're thinking maybe if something happens to Morse, which he is injury prone, he hasn't played a full season in the last 2 years, you move Long to center, Ford to guard, and Niseki starting at right tackle.
Yes, if they don't trust Feliciano.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right. So
then you
don't need Bodine then, is what you're saying. You'd rather have Boedeker.
I probably would have Waddle, I'd say.
Waddle.
I'm thinking the Bills. If that happens and they do think even Deion Dawkins could play inside and then they have Niseki as left tackle, I think on that basis, I think Bills would look at that and I would say they'll probably choose Waddle over Boedeker and Bodine.
A lot of inside guys. Yeah, okay. You win. Put it to Waddle, not Bodine.
Okay. So that then makes our offensive 53 what the Bills would do of Allen, Barkley, McCoy, Gore, Singletary, Yeldon, Perry, DeMarco,
DeMarco.
I'm thinking of the pizza place just outside my my work with DeMarco. Brown, Foster, Beasley, Jones, Williams, Roberts. If Tyler Croft's healthy, Croft, Kroom, Knox and Smith. If he's not, then Kroom, Knox, Smith and Sweeney. And Dawkins, Ford, Morse, Spain, Feliciano, Long, Niseki, Teller and Waddle as your O-line.
Yep.
So that's
the offense.
18, 19, 20. That's 27 players on offense, which means if you add three for the special teams, 30. We have to find 23 players for the defense, which is going to be fun.
Yep. Yeah.
But going back onto training camp, I've been going through a load of tweets on Twitter and all that, and there are stuff that is really I'm really starting to like about what I hear, especially on the offense. I mean, Josh Allen has been building a good rapport with John Brown, who's impressed impressed the staff today.
And Cole Beasley. I mean, today. Yep. They're talking about how like Allen is looking off the deep routes. He's learning to not force it and go down to Beasley, which sounds so good. I mean, if we can keep drives alive by just going short and getting six instead of 20, I mean, little by little, man. I mean, know when to do it long, but also, I mean, feel comfortable to go short. I mean, I can't think of any. It pains me. It's hard for me to do this, but I can't think of anything bad to say right now.
No.
And it's great. It's great first time in forever.
Yeah. I mean, with the wide receivers, I mean, even Ray McLeod's impressed a little bit when he's been getting sprinkled into first team reps, and they've had an open competition for that, for potentially that sixth wide receiver spot with Duke Williams. Cam Phillips even had some plays with the first team. Ray McLeod.
I've heard anything of Duke Williams so far, so.
I've seen one tweet. Where is it? Let me go through. Yeah, say.
Well, while you look for that, I mean, based off of Embedded, I feel like we need to go back and put Sills in there and take Williams out, you know, based off Embedded, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've got, yeah, the tweet I've had is about, where is he? Yeah, Duke William, and this is in pads, this is, so, yesterday, I believe, yes, one day ago, that Duke Williams out-muscled Levi Wallace in a one-to-one drill, and Josh Allen hit him on the slant. That's right. With pads on, so...
Oh, that's the good stuff.
Yeah, so I think it's a case that it's stuff that is getting sprinkled in with reporting. I mean, I'm hearing, I saw today that, or read today, that Foster's dropped a couple again, and actually is potentially another one, could be another one if he has carries on, could be a potential sleeper cut.
Oh, wow.
To be honest. So
that'd be tough.
I think McDermott said somewhere that he needs to adapt and actually open up from his second half performance or second half of the season performance. So, I mean, this wide receiver group is going to be, as we say, an interesting one. But as I say, love how Allen is doing the... is actually checking down to Beasley, building rapport with him. You got John Smokey Brown actually going over the top, and they've been connecting well.
Yeah.
Also,
I mean, I think on our wide receiver chat, I talked about how Zay Jones might be a sleeper cut if he can't put it together. But I guess the Bills don't owe Robert Foster anything.
No.
Thanks for a good end of the season. But in training camp, you have a lot of competition. You have to do that consistently.
Yeah.
And if you can't put it together and some of these young guys can, then, I mean, I'm sorry, you know?
I mean, even Nick Easley had a had a day when he's actually made some moves and made some plays. And this is the guy with a 3.77 second shuttle drill, which is one of the fastest ever recorded. But
I mean, this is definitely a coaching staff that will not give you anything. You have to earn everything. So who cares what you did last year, you know?
Yeah.
You have to do it today.
And I just like how Brian DeBoer was actually bringing in more weapons, more plays to the offensive playbook. I mean, he's used the pistol formation. He's used jet sweep, spread, empty sets. He's mixing up it. So... obviously not abandoning the run, but obviously doing design quarterback runs. So it's looking good. And Allen's been having those up and down. What's had about, I think, 3 of the 4 days have been up. I think yesterday was, well, Saturday in this, by the time you listen to this podcast, they had a bit of a down day where he was intercepted a fair few times and not having the best of days. But I think it's going to be good that this offense is hopefully going to get those plays down to a T and actually work on them, because I know they've been doing situational plays in the first couple of days. So they've done red zone, they've done short yardage situations. So I like where it's coming from, and it's not just the offense where there's going to be battles. I mean, you've got Kevin Johnson, obviously out of signed from Houston, a former first round pick. He's impressed quite a lot. Leslie Frazier, Sean McDermott, that he's actually been getting the first team reps over Levi Wallace. And now, obviously, Wallace again, like you said, with Foster, Bills don't owe him anything.
Mm-hmm.
He came in as a free agent, undrafted free agent. Yes, he really excelled opposite Trey White, especially with White locking down the field. But it's that second season. Can you then jump off it? Can you actually build on it and get them up and running? Get learning more and taking advantage of these presence of these veterans that are coming in.
Yeah, I mean, and bringing EJ Gaines back too, so.
Yeah. I mean, another one on defense, we mentioned him last week in Sleeper, Mike Love. he's been getting mainly second team reps all the time. And during the off season, he's actually been learning from Lorenzo Alexander. So that's another one where there's going to be a battle. We could probably lock in three of Hughes, Murphy, potentially Lawson, but that fourth one is going to be that interesting battle as well. So
I think the defense is going to provide us a lot more conversation about who and when and what positions and who's going to get cut and stuff like that.
And that's what we're going to look forward to discussing, obviously, going forward in our reviews, which I think next episode we'll start turn our attentions to
the kickers and punters. No, the defense. Yeah. Okay.
Apparently there was actually there is a bit of a battle brewing between Corey Burgess and Corey Carter.
Oh my God, I don't care. Just kick the ball. Dude was bad last year. Dude was real bad.
And Corey Carter was injured.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. Can we get Brett? Can we get Chris Moore back in here? He's making my all-time team. So.
Oh, you mean Brian Moorman?
No, Chris Moore, man. I'm a '90s guy.
Okay, it's gonna be an interesting discussion.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Yeah, that's gonna be the most heated discussion about who makes the all-time punter. But
that and kicker.
Yeah, of course. Yep.
But no, I'm excited. Yes, it's only been 4 days, but as the listeners know, that I'm more of an optimist and a pessimist, unlike you, which is the other way around.
You can call me a realist, please.
Realist?
A realist.
Realist, yes. Okay.
That's what pessimists say to defend themselves.
But another couple of tweets that really got me laughing on there was one where a guy asked David Sills who threw harder, the jugs machine or Josh Allen. He just laughed and said, Josh Allen, hands down. one other little nugget, which I've seen it from two different sources, is don't sleep on Andre Roberts to actually have a potential role in the offense rather than just on punting kick returns. Because apparently he's had some good catches, good routes in training camp. Which,
I mean, how many five receiver sets are we going to even see, though, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine many.
That's true. I mean, unless they go for the Hail Mary against the Patriots to get that home field advantage and number one seed. You see Josh Allen throwing up there with John Brown, Andre Roberts, Cole Beasley, Robert Foster, and Zay Jones. I could see that.
Man, that would be such an amazing thing to see. What's that? That's week 16, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Last play of the game.
Knowing our luck, it'll be he'll do that, and then either Stephen Gilmore or was it Malcolm Butler, the one that took it away?
I thought you were the optimist. What are you doing right now?
I'm still optimist. I'm still optimistic.
Does it sound like it right now?
I'm just giving the other view. I'm not being pessimistic about this. I'm just looking at the worst case scenario. I'm still optimistic that if it ever came down to that situation, that'll be battered down, and you'll have Cole Beasley, the smallest of the guys, actually sliding underneath and actually
drama there. Yeah.
But no, it's, I say, it's going to be an interesting camp, so to speak, and we'll keep you we'll keep everyone updated as we every episode with any nuggets and any gems that we hear from any reports. I mean, one day we'll hopefully try and get someone out there to potentially report on it. So could be a dream, or we have a resident reporter, beat reporter, actually come on the show each week and give us an update.
Yeah, I'll try and send my brother to training camp and see what happens.
Give it a go. We can see what happens. But this Oh, so all this. We've now gone over the, in that discussion of training camp, we've gone over the O-line review, got the, we've got who we want on the 53-man roster, who the Bills will put on the 53-man roster. Now we'll take a short break, come back, and we will go back to the all-time team. I'll let you know the results of the previous votes, and we'll get into the O-line. So stay tuned. Thank you for listening to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. Now we go into the all-time Bills team. Now, last episode, we talked about the wide receivers and tight ends. And after doing our polls on Twitter and Facebook, I can now proudly announce the results. So for wide receiver, have we got a drum roll there, Alex? You do a drum roll for us.
I'm not doing that.
fair enough. Well, the wide receivers.
Because I'm probably going to lose, so that's why I'm not doing it.
Fair enough. Wonder if you win, will you still do a drum roll afterwards?
Yes.
Okay. But anyway, the chosen picks for the wide receivers is Andre Reed and build up the suspense here. Just double checking everything. Counting it again. It's Eric Moulds!
Oh, how about that? How about that? I'm still not going to do the drum roll, but how about that?
Oh, you let me down without that drum roll.
I'm just I'm just shocked to see the people agree with me about something.
And then for tight end, obviously we've got Pete Metzelaar. That's set in stone. But the second tight end, the backup, is, and this time I'm actually going to do a drum roll, even if you're not going to. So, Scott Chandler. So, my pick.
I can't be upset about that because who cares?
Well,
it's not a guy that you want on the field in an all-time game. So,
yeah, I mean, overall we've had four positions. It's 2-2. You got Kelly Fitzpatrick and Reed and Moulds. I got Thomas and Jackson and Metzelaar and Chandler. So far it's even Steven.
Not a bad team.
Yeah. No. I mean, I've looked at the looked at one response. Someone did post another, which was for tight end. He goes, how about McKellar? What's his name? Killer McKellar.
That doesn't do anything for me.
Was
he back in the...
No. Or how about Dubion?
Yeah, I mean... the Bills don't have tight ends. So, I mean, those names don't do anything for me. They don't do... I mean, give it to me again. Oh, Albert Dubion, right?
Dubion and McKellen. Or McKellar. McKellar. Hold on. I just had 2 seconds ago. McKellar.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that anywhere.
No?
I know Albert Dubion. So you can have that, but the other guy, I don't know who that is, so I am sorry about that.
I have a feeling it was something to do with the K gun, I think, if I was thinking about that, but I might be completely and horribly wrong about that, but that's the suggestions we had, so... But at the end of the day, Reeds and Moulds and Metzelaar and Scott Chandler are...
Yeah, I mean, Keith McKellar, right?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, he was the tight end during the Super Bowl teams. But nothing exciting. I mean, they didn't really use the position back then anyway. They were all blockers, so...
Yeah.
But as long as everyone agrees on Metzelaar, because he's the guy, so.
Yeah. So now we come to the O-line. Now, I will admit here that outside the well-known names, I think being only a fan since 99 and not knowing too much about tackles and those positions back in the day, like some seasoned listeners we've got, probably mine are going to have more of a modern day feel to it. So I'm going to put that out there.
Yeah, this one I shockingly had the most fun with.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, because there were so many players, I came up with a list of, I think, like 15 that I had to whittle down. And we're talking all the way from the AFL to, I don't know, the most recent player I had was Reuben Brown. I don't have anybody kind of after him.
Yeah. So,
but I think you do, right?
Yeah. So shall I start with me first, or would you like to go first?
Let's do guards first. Who do you have as your two guards?
I have Joe D and Eric Wood.
Okay. Yep. So Joe DeLaMalier, obviously. You're looking at a guy who has, you know, Pro Bowls, first team All Pros, 3 Offensive Lineman of the Year awards. You know, he was kind of the headliner for the Electric Company, which was the old line that was blocking for OJ. And he's in the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, that's kind of lock, right? I mean, you get that Hall of Fame, right?
Yep. And then I've got Eric Wood. Again, as I said earlier, it's because of, I could have probably gone for Billy Shaw there. Mm-hmm. But I think with Wood, it was the fact that he could kick to center if needed. So obviously, if we would do it with a bit more depth and have like backups and all that, or if we had an extra lineman in there, then that would be different. But what I like about Wood was his versatility along the interior. So for me, it was the versatility that he could play center, and obviously he played there college. He played right guard when he came in to the league. That's probably the reason why I went for Eric Wood.
Gotcha. So yeah, I mean, you mentioned Billy Shaw, and that's who I'm picking in this scenario. So earlier in the show, I mentioned that Pro Football Focus has this rating system called approximate value, and it's their attempt to attach a single number to every player's season since 1960.
Yeah.
So on top of everything like that, compare Billy Shaw's average value, which is a 68, to Eric Woods, which is a 57. This is by no means a scientific stat or anything.
Yeah.
But you look back at Billy Shaw, 119 starts, 8-time and an AFL All-Star, 5-team All-Pro, dudes in the Hall of Fame, All-Decade team of the 60s. I mean, Joe D was also on the 70s All-Decade team, Joe DeLaMalier. Two things I love about Billy Shaw was he was drafted by the Cowboys in the NFL and the Bills in the AFL, and the dude picked Buffalo over Dallas, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And in his Hall of Fame speech, he forgot to thank his wife. So he had to run back on stage and get down on his knees and thank her and ask for forgiveness. So you know that guy played hard because he clearly has some kind of brain damage to forget his wife in his Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, Billy Shaw, I mean, just the accolades. From 62 to 66, dude was all pro. His whole career, he was an AFL All-Star. I mean, this guy just got it, you know? Hall of Fame, 99. Is that gritty kind of guy that you could just get behind.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many good interior that...
Absolutely. That's one thing that I also wanted to mention. I mean, my list of honorable mentions are all interior linemen. I mean, Jim Richter, Reuben Brown, Will Wolford, Reggie McKenzie, and Ken Jones. I mean, those guys all belong on this list. If it wasn't for Billy Shaw and Joe DeLaMalier, at least for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand your Ed Wood... you know, I mean, Eric Wood, Ed Wood, that's not, we don't want to talk about who Ed Wood is. Yeah, Eric Wood. I mean, I love the guy. Only made the Pro Bowl once, though. And I think for me, Pro Bowl voting is dumb.
Yeah.
Because no one who originally got called a Pro Bowler goes to the Pro Bowl. So I bet you Eric Wood was like an alternate. But it used to mean more, you know, I think.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can't say that he was an alternate or not. I mean, I'm not going to look that up. But I just feel like anybody in the 2000s, anyone who was in the Pro Bowl, you know, probably didn't actually get the first vote, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's, as I say, it's two different, it's almost like two different generation type things. I mean, you with your, obviously your dad being a Bills fan, you being a Bills fan, you helps having the knowledge or knowledge, not just from you, but from your dad from the 60s, 70s and 80s and all that. And obviously me being more of a late bloomer, so to speak, only been there for the last 20 odd years. So let's say it's always going to be contentious. To say the interior line has always been one of the probably the strongest points for the Bills, as you said, with all your with the choices we could have, and obviously
I would imagine fan voting will be a big write-in vote for Reuben Brown.
With center, is it unanimous like me? You go for Kent Hull?
I mean, who else is there, right?
Yeah.
Three-time Pro Bowler, All-Pro, first-team All-Pro, 1991. I mean, the guy in front of Jim Kelly, you know? I mean, he's the man.
Yeah. And then we come to the tackles. Now, who have you got?
So this was a much shallower pool of players. For me, I went almost strictly on the approximate value on Pro Football Reference because there were so – for me, it's very few players at tackle specifically.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're picking an offensive line or if we're picking, like, the best offensive line players, then I would replace these two tackles with Jim Richter and Reuben Brown. But because we need specific tackles, I picked Joe Devlin, who played in the 70s and 80s, and John Fina, who played in the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah.
So for Joe Devlin, I mean, 13 years, 179 starts. The dude was the Bills' offensive line in the 70s and 80s. And one of the biggest kind of things, I mean, Joe DeLaMalier specifically said that he was one of the best and most underappreciated players in the NFL. I mean, he never had a Pro Bowl, and he 100% deserved to be there. He has the highest approximate value of all Bills offensive tackles. And for me, John Fina was the guy in the 90s. I mean, he was the offensive tackle that I knew growing up. 92 to 2001, 131 starts. Caught a touchdown in 92. And then he dropped the touchdown in 93. No Pro Bowls, though. So that kind of shows you the shallowness of the tackle position. But he is the second best approximate value for a offensive tackle in Buffalo Bills history.
Yeah. I think with me, again, I'm playing on the instance of a newbie and a young fan. I would have chosen Cordy Glenn as one of them. I just think, obviously, what he's come in, he could have played inside, played outside, and bar the injuries he always had, he was one of those dependent and solid.
I mean, I never had anything to complain about Cordy Glenn. So
yeah, and even when he was injured, he would still play injured. And my second pick was Jason Peters.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah. I mean, he came in undrafted in to the Bills in 2004. Originally came in as a tight end and then transitioned to a tackle. He was Pro Bowl for his 2 years, 2007, 2008 when he was with the Bills. He's all-time, nine-time Pro Bowl, from us and the Eagles, two-time first-team All-Pro with the Eagles, four-time second-team All-Pro, twice with the Bills in 07-08, the Super Bowl champion, obviously, and obviously in the SEC, he was second-team All-SEC. So with him, you've got someone who throughout his career, obviously, has changed a different position, but has continued to dominate. And
yeah,
I just can't, you know, me personally, obviously, from the time that I've been a fan, I can't see anyone that could top him. Obviously, if I went back, looked at more games from the 70s, 80s, and all that during those times, maybe one of those would change, more likely Glenn. But I think with me, it was a case that Peters was probably, in my opinion, what I've seen, and since I've been following him, probably the best Bills tackle that we've had.
Mm-hmm. And you know, his trade got us Eric Wood.
Yep.
So I mean, his legacy kind of lived on through that. Man, yep. I mean, pay the man. He yes. held out, and we were like, nah, dude, and that was a mistake. I mean, he wasn't going to fix our, you know, 2009, 2010, 2011 seasons. You know, he wasn't like that. He wasn't the reason why the lack of him wasn't the reason why we were bad. Obviously, we were just bad because we were bad. But it wouldn't hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, as I say, again, as I mentioned, when we talk about interior, it's everyone that that will vote when we put this on Twitter and Facebook will have different opinions. Some may agree one, some may agree to other. I say we'll stick that others column for people to vote other and put their ultimate line in there, and we'll see what we can go for.
Yeah, so, I mean, it definitely would have been Peters over John Fina if he would have stayed with us. His career approximate value is 123, which puts him in Hall of Fame category.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the top 100 all-time offensive tackles in the NFL history.
Yeah. We'll put it to the fans. See what they see what they say. See who gets who breaks the tie, so to speak, from the two all that we've got at the moment for the all-time team.
And a little bit of breaking news, which doesn't work on podcasts, but it does during our conversation right now. based off the AJ Green injury, he does have torn ligaments in his left ankle. It's going to sideline him 6 to 8 weeks. So we play the Bengals in 8 weeks from now. So if he recovers on time, he might be a little slow. That would be good for us. So sorry, Bengals fans, but AJ Green not gonna have a good start to the season.
Yeah, we'll see what that happens, and we'll see what the obviously we've got the chat with the Bengals UK Bengals guy coming up next few episodes. Obviously, we've already recorded that, so we can't ask him that question. But
right.
I can tell you, he gave us a few good picks outside of AJ Green to look out for. So when we get this up, have a listen, and obviously let us know. And before we talk about the rest of the what's coming up. I think a couple of weeks back, I said there was I said to you when we finished recording that there was a stat I wanted to put on about Frank Reich.
Okay.
Probably some of the most of the listeners probably know this. The fact that he's the only quarterback to be undefeated in the playoffs with more than one start.
Yep.
He's actually 2-0. So that's got to be good record for a. For a backup quarterback.
Should have started him in the Super Bowl then.
Yep. Who knew what would happen? Anyway, moving on. What
he
we're
would
hoping...
have been just as drunk as the rest of the team was, so it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
They were all hungover.
And if Thurman hadn't lost his misplaced his helmet. Who knows?
That's the curse.
Yeah. But anyway, moving forward, next episode or next main episode, we'll be discussing more training camp stuff, more news, more reactions, our own opinions. We'll also go on to the defensive line. Now, we will discuss whether we'll break it into the defensive tackles and defensive ends when it comes to the all-time team. But for the positional review, we will review the whole of the our defensive line and obviously say we think the Bills will put on that 53-man roster. And hopefully in the next coming days after this podcast is released, we've had interviews with the Patriots and Jets UK fans. So hopefully we'll get those out on an episode. And we've also interviewed the Titans and Bengals UK fans. So we'll try and get that out on another episode. And we are trying to get, as I've mentioned in the previous one, all the teams that the Bills will face next season to appear, have a little interview and discuss about them, about the Bills, and obviously their prediction. So,
well, it's not just fans of the team. I mean, these are guys who have podcasts. We didn't just randomly pick a Patriots fan off the street. That would have been awful.
No.
So these are guys who run podcasts and blogs and Twitter feeds for their teams. So we're going to have really good in-depth analysis of who the Bills' opponents are going to be this year.
Yeah. So that's what's coming up. Obviously, going forward, we'll continue. We'll put the Twitter and Facebook poll up with the all-time team. Obviously, we would love your opinions. We'd love your views of this podcast, wherever you're listening to it, whether you want to tweet us, put a message on Facebook or whatever. Give us your opinions and views, not just on what you've heard previously, but how you think the podcast's going. We'd love to hear reviews. Continue subscribing through iTunes, or is now Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, wherever you can get it. Because me and Alex both appreciate everyone that listens to our podcast and everyone that gives us a review. Means we probably are doing something right if we're constantly getting listeners. Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, this is our 10th episode. I haven't done anything this committed in a long time, so this is excellent.
Yeah. So keep tuning in, keep subscribing, keep leaving reviews, keep voting, keep interacting with us. We'll continue to interact with you. And on that note,
let's do another Q&A show soon as well. So start asking, get your questions out to us and we'll put it on a show.
Yeah. We'll get a date for that. Probably next couple of weeks, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, next couple of weeks. We'll stick it out there. Send us your questions and we'll host another Q&A, because we've got some positive questions on that. So
especially send them during in. Training camp, so.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So on that note, it's for this time. Until next time, good evening, good afternoon, and go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us.
Yeah, not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.